kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Ayan, 29 ng Abril taong 2025. Claudette Centeno po ang inyong makakasama ngayong araw ng Martes sa programong Filipino ng SBS. At syempre, batiin muna natin ang magandang umaga lahat ng ating mga solid na tagapakinig, sa mga nakikinig po sa radyo, maayong buntag, at sa ating website www.sbs.com.au/filipino. Yung mga kababayan din nating nakatutok sa Digital TV Channel 302, good morning. At sa mga nakikinig din gamit ang SBS Audio app. Ayan, syempre ngayong umaga po hatid natin ang iba't ibang mga impormasyon at kwento ngayong araw ng Martes. At syempre upang samahan tayo ngayong umaga, kumustahin muna natin ang ating tagapagbalita na si Martin Tuanyo. Magandang araw, Martin!
Magandang araw, Claudette! At magandang umaga po sa lahat na nakikinig sa atin ngayong Martes dito sa SBS Filipino. Kumusta ang lahat?
Ayan, kumusta ang lahat? Sana po ay okay ang inyong Tuesday morning, bagamat medyo malamig-lamig na talaga yung panahon, Martin. No? Mm-hmm. Pero ito na nga, 5 days to go bago po yung federal election sa May 3, habang sa Pilipinas naman, May 12 ang 2025 midterm election. Ang tanong, Martin, ang tanong natin sa lahat, handa na ba ang lahat bumoto? Ayan. At ito nga, no, ilan din sa ating mga kababayan ay nakapag-early voting na din, Martin. Around 1.7 million Australians na ang nakapagboto at isa tayo doon sa mga maagang pumila nitong I think Thursday last week. Huwebes last week pumila tayo. Ayan. Ikaw ba, Martin, boboto ka ba? Dapat hindi magandang tanong 'yon. Ang tanong ko, kumusta pala ang iyong pagboto or unang pagboto sa Pilipinas? Pwede mo bang ikwento sa amin yung unang pagboto mo doon?
Alam mo, nung una kong pagboto sa Pilipinas, if I'm not mistaken, tama ba 2021 or 2022? Basta yung national elections.
Oo.
Tapos yun yung first time ko talaga bumoto. So ilang taon na rin ako nun?
25.
25 na ako, 24. Oo. Ganyan. Kasi at that time, hindi ko talaga akala, hindi ko iniisip na sobrang, di ba, halaga dapat ng bumoto. Mm-hmm. Na, di ba, sinasabi nga natin, karapatan bumoto.
Mm-hmm.
Di ba? Kahit isang boto lang yan, malaking bagay
siya.
So yung experience ko doon sa Pilipinas, syempre parang naranasan natin yung hinahanap mo yung pangalan mo sa
registration.
Sa pader, yung mga nakapaskil.
Yung mga papel na napaskil.
Tapos hahanapin mo yung pangalan mo
para
doon.
Para sa classroom.
Para since sa paaralan, di ba, ginaganap yung mga voting natin. So hahanapin mo. Tapos at that time kasi yung naranasan ko na automated machine na. So parang
same tayo.
Di ba yung papel na, tapos mamark mo na lang, tapos lalagay nila doon. Then ang pinakahinihintay kong part doon is yung indelible ink na ilalagay.
Oo, sa right index finger.
Yes, tapos parang mga tatlong araw bago siya mawala.
Oo, correct. 2022 ka. Ako din siguro yung una kong pagboto was 2014 or 2015 no. Kasi 6 years after yung next presidential elections. So I think it 2015 ata. Kasi nga syempre ang voting sa atin voluntary kasi doon sa Pilipinas,
yes,
kumpara dito sa
mandatory.
Australia na required and mandatory tayong bumoto. So nung nandoon na parang nag-decide na ako bumoto ako my vote counts for this election. Yun nga, experience ko din dun lang sa malapit sa amin yung election. So, sa paaralan din. Tapos, hanapin mo, parang first day of school ang peg. ang dami ng tao, no? Tapos, pagpasok mo dun, ayun nga, papaupuin ka, parang exam lang. Tapos, isha-shade mo yung, tama ba, yung kandidato na gusto mong iboto. Tapos, yun nga, same tayo, naabutan ko na din yung automated machine, voting machine. Ipapasok nila dun yung papel. Tapos, after nun, mamarkahan na yung kamay. Tapos after, magsa-selfie agad. With
the
index finger, bumoto ako. So, vote wisely.
Ano yung, ano mo, Claude? Kasi kahapon, nung nag-uusap naman kami ni Sheila Joy Labrador, napag-usapan namin na first time voter, na bumoto din siya. First time voter siya dito sa Nationals. Nabanggit niya yung experience din niya. Ikaw, ano naman yung feeling since first time mo din sa Nationals?
Oo. So, first time kong bumoto dito as an Australian citizen. No? So, parang nung first, medyo kabado ako. Pero syempre, ang iba kasi dito kasi kailangan mag-research ka tungkol sa mga parties. Ikaw yung aralin mo sila, hindi yung parang ibibigyan ka ng ito yung background ng ano ng kandidato or ng party. So ikaw mismo yung mag-aaral. Gusto mo ba yung pamamalakad nila, mga polisiya nila? So yung experience ko naman, kasi first time, nag-early voting kami ng asawa ko kasi nga may trabaho kaming pareho sa May 3. So ang kaibahan talaga, Martin, sobrang straightforward ng voting dito. Tapos hindi pa masyado maraming tao. Alam ko dadagsain ngayong Saturday ang May 3 elections. Kaya yung iba din nag-early voting kasi ayaw nila yung pila at saka mahirap mag-parking. No? Pero yung time ko, yung limang taong nakapila na yun, for them, mahaba na yun. So pagpasok mo doon sa kung saan ka mismo boboto, kakausapin ka ng isang volunteer doon, ano ba, eligible ka ba talagang bumoto, or saan yung address mo, or do you believe ba na dapat mag-early voting ka, tapos bibigyan ka nila ng green and white paper. Yun yung green and white ballot paper. Yung green, yun yung maliit lang na papel, pero yung white paper, yun yung parang, I think yun yung para sa mga party lists or mga yes sa Congress. Ang haba. Sabi ko, oh my gosh, parang exam lang naman. Pero sa labas pa lang, meron ng mga different parties na nagbibigay sa iyo ng guide. So parang alam mo yung, lalo na pag first time voter, yes, ka, di ba, so parang ano ba yung gagawin? Ano ba yung ano mo? Parang i-check mo ba or ganito. Ang daming questions. Pero naging easy talaga siya. Easy talaga yung pagboto dito. And pagkatapos nun, walang automated machine. Ihulog mo lang, merong parang box. So yung green paper at yung white paper. So ganun yung difference. Pagkatapos nun, wala ng indelible ink. Diretso ka na exit. Uwi na diretso.
Maganda yung nabanggit mo kanina na talaga dapat, sabi mo, pinag-aaralan yung ibang iboboto mo. Kasi sa Pilipinas, di ba, parang tayo, halimbawa, may kailangan bumoto ng senador. Di ba, 12 yung kailangan mong iboto 12. Ng senador. Minsan, kapag hindi mo na kumpleto yung 12, like, meron ka lang 8 in mind. So, yung 4, kahit sino na lang yung iboboto ng iba, di ba?
Yes.
So, maganda na inaaral bawat kandidato. Since iba yung election dito sa Pilipinas at sa Australia, maganda talaga na binubusisi ba?
Yes, binubusisi. At ang napansin ko din, Martin, no, parang doon kilala mo yung mga tatakbo. For some reason, sa parang kilala mo, pero dito parang hindi mo kilala. So unless lagi silang nasa TV at ini-interview, 'di ba? Parang sino to? Parang ganyan, ang dami mong questions. So it's really good that you do your research ahead before voting. So kayo po, ano po ba yung inyong mga experience sa inyong unang pagboto sa federal elections? Maaring ibahagi po yan sa amin dito sa SBS Filipino. At ikaw din, Martin, ay may dalang ulat para sa ating mga kababayan mamaya.
Yes, Claudette, dahil pakinggan natin ang ikalawang bahagi ng ulat mula sa SBS Examines tungkol sa nalalapit na federal na halalan, particular na kung gaano kalaki yung portion ng mga bumoboto na lalaki at babae sa panahon ngayon.
Wow! Abangan po natin yan mamaya, at abangan din sa susunod na bahagi ng programa yung paano ba tutuparin ng mga partido naman yung kanilang pangako sa eleksyon na magtayo ng mas maraming bahay upang tugunan po yung ating house crisis sa gitna ng kakulangan ng mga manggagawa. Abangan ating ulat tungkol dyan, at sa mga balak din magtayo ng negosyo, pakinggan din natin ang kwento ng ating mga kababayang taga Perth na nagtayo ng fusion restaurant kasama ang kanyang mga kaibigan. Abangan ang lahat ng yan sa pagbabalik ng SBS Filipino.
At nagbabalik po ang SBS Filipino, kasama pa rin sina Claudette Centeno at Martin Tuanyo. Dumako naman tayo sa isang ulat mula sa SBS Examines para sa nalalapit na federal na halalan sa Sabado. Ipinakita ng mga halalan sa ibang bansa noong nakaraang taon na lumalawak ang agwat sa politika ng mga kabataang lalaki at babae. Sa US, ang mga lalaki na may edad 18 hanggang 29 ay dumami ang boto kay Trump, kung saan 56% sa kanila ang bumoto sa kanya kumpara sa 40% na mga babae. At sa ibang mga bansa, ang mga kabataang lalaki naman ay mas pumapabor sa conservative right sa politika. Ngayong malapit na ang araw ng halalan sa Australia, alamin natin kung mangyayari din ba ito sa ating bansa.
This puzzling finding came out that the gulf between men and women were increasing in many contexts, not just US, but also other countries like France, Germany, South Korea, China.
Si Intifar Chowdhury ay isang youth researcher at lecturer sa government sa Flinders University. Pinag-aralan niya ang mga henerasyon na may iba't ibang political spectrum sa pamamagitan ng pagsusuri sa 35-year Australian election data.
young people are progressive when they're young, but when they accrue all sort of markers of adulthood, such as employment, stable income, and they want to hold on to whatever they have as they age, and hence they become conservative.
I was a Labour supporter in my younger days, like most 20-something creatures. And then when I started my own life, getting a job and then having a mortgage, and then especially when I started a young family, I just drifted towards the right.
Napakinggan natin si Steve Go, 65 years old, at naranasan niya ito.
Such as parenthood, a stable relationship, a stable job. They're in education for longer as well. I really wanted to see if these structural, economic, and social changes across time is really what is shaping people's attitudes and behaviors, and what that has to do with sort of gender trends and voting, etc.
Ayon kay Chowdhury, mas matagal ngayon para sa mga kabataan na makamtan ang mga sitwasyon ng adulthood tulad ng pagiging magulang, magpagkakaroon ng stable na relasyon at trabaho, at mas matagal din silang nag-aaral. Napag-alaman niya na mas maraming babae ang nasa left political spectrum, habang ang mga lalaki naman ay mas nasa right.
There is a very simple reason for that. Women have a weaker economic position for eons. And hence, women are more pro-distributive. So they're like, yes, more tax, and then distribute all the money to people who are less well off. Men, on the other hand, they want to conserve resources because their economic position compared to women is always better. So from a very rationalist perspective, it makes sense why men and women put themselves in the ideological scale as they do.
We are objectified all the time. So yes, doesn't surprise me that women are more left-leaning.
Si Andreza Ireland ay isang Brazilian na lumipat sa Australia 15 taon na ang nakalipas at nagsabi ng kanyang opinyon.
Women, they are oppressed all over the world and also in Australia. There is this thing called the gender pay gap is still. And I think that for that reason, women experience the world in a different way.
Habang ang mga babae ay mas pumapabor sa left, ang mga kabataang lalaki naman ay mas pumapabor sa right. Sinusuri ni Dr. Chowdhury kung ano ang dahilan ng gender gap na ito.
One is men might feel like if we compare our lives to our dads and our grandfather's lives, where everything was centered around men, status to privilege, suddenly we move from being net beneficiaries to the net contributors. And women seem to be more advantaged from how society is progressing and becoming progressive. Other explanation is cultural backlash, which is, again, the same economic story. But then, if they go into online spaces, there might be leaders who might be rallying these grievances and turning this quiet discontent into a reactionary force. Thankfully, in Australia, we don't see the second trend. We do see that men are still moving to the left, but a little bit slowly compared to women.
Si Calvin Biag, 22 years old, na lumaki sa Western Sydney at naninirahan pa rin doon, ay nagsabi ng kanyang pananaw.
My family's been a real blend of public school education, Catholic school education, different cultures. My father is Filipino, my mother's Maltese. We are a very mixed European and Asian electorate, and a lot of the constituents come from those backgrounds.
Inilarawan ni Calvin ang kanyang sarili bilang center-right.
I think the right of politics in traditional sense is part of the political spectrum that really is valuing conservatism, values the beliefs of traditional ideals, whether that's the nuclear family or economic issues. I think myself politically, I'm more economically conservative.
Ngunit meron siyang opinion sa far-right politics.
Some would categorize it as toxic masculinity and all those ideals. Personally, I don't think being on either ends, and I'm talking about the far reaches of either one of those spectrums, is healthy in any sense. Starting to tap in to a world of anarchy and protest, that's too far to the left. And then I think as well, to the right, it starts to breed a world of conspiracy theorism and all those sort of things as well. And that's not healthy for any society because you don't end up in a productive place. I would hate to see the American situation play out in Australia, but it's true that these trends are rising. And I think it's just a cry for young men in particular that are looking for more traditional values in what they do.
Si Jordan Maxwini, isang senior research fellow sa University of Canberra, ay nagsabi na hindi bagong phenomenon ang global move ng mga lalaki sa right.
The far right has always been a very gendered phenomenon. Male supremacy is sort of a core aspect of far right ideology for the most part.
Ayon sa kanya, iba ang suporta sa far right ideology sa Australia kumpara sa ibang mga bansa.
So my research is trying to better understand why the Australian far right hasn't performed as well electorally as similar parties in, let's say, Europe or the US with Trump's Republican Party.
Natuklasan niya na hindi gaanong maayos ang pagkakaorganisa ng mga far-right parties sa Australia.
Not necessarily dissatisfied with the party's positions, but dissatisfied with the way the party operates. I think helps to tell this story of why Australian far-right parties haven't reached the same levels of success as some of their counterparts.
Ayon kay Jordan, isa pang factor ang compulsory voting.
That has downward pressure on what we might call like the mobilization factor. So compulsory voting, we know from surveys, tends to push people to vote for the most prominent parties, you know, mainly the Liberal National Coalition and the Australian Labor Party.
At sang-ayon dito si Dr. Chowdhury.
So that means that these pockets of hard right ideologies get dampened by more people who are moderate or more progressive. The US, for example, extremely polarized. But we as Australians, we tend to be more centered. And that's why this didn't play out as it is playing out in the rest of the world.
Ang ulat na ito ay mula kay Alex Tarney at Olivia Diorio ng SBS Examines na isinalin sa wikang Filipino. Para sa iba pang impormasyon, bisitahin ang www.sbs.com.au/sbsexamines.
At nagbabalik po ang SBS Filipino. 10:31 po ng umaga ang ating oras dito sa estado ng Melbourne. Claudette pa rin po ang inyong kasama hanggang alas 11 ng umaga para maghatid ng mga balita at kwento ngayong araw ng Martes. At syempre, salamat kay Martin Tuanoyo sa paghatid ng ating tampok kanina dito sa ating programa. At sa ibang balita naman po, sa patuloy na pangangampa niya para sa eleksyon ay inanunsyo kamakailan ng mga pangunahing partido ang mga plano na palakasin at dagdagan ang bilang ng mga trade sa Australia upang tumulong syempre sa pagpapadami ng supply ng mga bagong bahay. Tinanggap po ito ng mga builder upang mapabilis ang kwalifikasyon ng mga trade. Ngunit anila hindi pa rin ito sapat upang mapunan ang kakulangan ng mga manggagawa at maitayo ang milyon-milyong bahay na pinangako sa susunod na 5 taon. Narito ang ulat ni Peta Duherty at Sydney Lang na isinalin sa wikang Filipino. May pag-aalinlangan ang arkitektong taga-Melbourne na si Bruce Allen sa mga pangako ng mga politikong magtayo ng libo-libong bahay sa susunod na 5 taon.
I just cannot understand how they think that we can build that many houses in the short time available. Even if we imported migrant skilled labor, it takes a while for that to happen.
Aniya may kakulangan sa mga skilled tradee tulad ng carpentero, glazier, tubero o plumber at mga electrician na dahilan ng mga pagkaantala na maitayo ang mga proyekto at nagpapamahal sa mga bahay sa Victoria.
This is the worst situation that I've come across and I've been in my own practice for 50 years. So we've had a history in Australia of benefiting from migrant construction workers. So but those people now, from actually applying to move here, there's the delayed process of going through the visa application process and then going through the accreditation that's required once they get here.
Ayon sa Master Builders Association, kakailanganin pa ang 130,000 na mga karagdagang manggagawa sa bansa. Sinabi ng Building Industry Lobby Group na ang migrasyon at sistema ng visa sa bansa ay bigong makaakit ng mga skilled tradees o pahintulutan ang mga nandito upang magtrabaho. Ayon sa Master Builders South Australia CEO na si Will Frogley, marami sa mga skilled tradees ang nandito.
A lot of them are already here. They might have a background working in building construction in their home countries, but they might be driving Ubers or stacking shelves or working at a supermarket or a petrol station. We'd like to get them out working in our industry because it is causing delays, a lack of labour. Also, employers are being forced to use people they perhaps wouldn't want to use because there's not enough people around.
Nagtakda ang branch nito sa South Australia na tulungan ang mga migrante na makahanap ng trabaho at mapunan ng skill gap at makakuha din ng trabaho sa building sector. Natukoy ng programa ang mga potensyal na mga manggagawa sa 700 international student graduates at 70 skilled migrant na naka-permanent visa. Isa sa mga partisipante ay si Nishriti Shetty na nakakuha ng trabaho bilang surveyor.
I've got 3 years of experience from India, but that would get discounted here because it's not Australian experience. That is where I really struggle, but I think most of my skills actually come from my Indian experience. So it's that kind of unconditional or subconscious bias didn't help me get a job.
Si Abdul Rivzi ay isang dating immigration official. Aniya ang skilled visa process ay nagiging hadlang sa mga nais makakuha ng trabaho.
Most of the people who are skilled, say carpenters, joiners, bricklayers, etc., from outside Western nations will tend to not have the English language requirements to enter Australia. How you address that is not easy. But that's the big challenge in terms of attracting more construction tradies from overseas.
Hindi pa malinaw kung ang programa ng labor na kaagarang ipasok ang 6,000 ng mga tradies ay bukas sa mga visa holders. Samantala, ayon naman sa koalisyon, papabilisin nila ang skilled visa para sa mga construction worker, ngunit wala pang eksaktong detalye kung paano. Sa pangangampanya ng dalawang partito, iniwasan nilang sagutin sa debate ang detalye ng skilled migration.
Both major parties have been at fault in terms of addressing these issues. And yet the finger pointing is all we get. We get no details on what they're actually going to do.
Ano man ang gawin ng papasok na administrasyon tungkol sa kakulangan ng mga manggagawa o tradie, malamang na ilang taon pa bago ganap na maibalik ang sigla ng workforce. Nag-iwan ito ng mga katanungan sa mga pangakong binitiwan bago ang eleksyon at sa mga target sa pabahay. Claudette Centeno pa rin po inyong kasama ngayon Tuesday morning, ika-29 ng Abril taong 2025. Isang araw na lang matatapos na yung ating April, no, month of April. At Mayo na ulit, napakabilis ng panahon. Kayo po, ano po ba yung inyong ginawa nitong autumn season? Okay, bagi po yan sa amin dito sa SBS Filipino. At ayun nga, as mentioned natin, 5 days to go na lang din bago ang federal election sa May 3 sa mga first-time voters o boboto sa araw ng election sa Sabado. Ako, ibahagi din po ang inyong mga karanasan sa pagboto sa ating federal elections. Magpadala lamang ng mensahe sa atin at meron din tayo mga post dyan sa ating Facebook page kung saan pwede kayong makapag-comment at magbahagi din ng inyong mga saloobin o mga experiences. Siyempre, bukas yan sa lahat ng ating mga kababayan. At tayo din po ay napapakinggan Lunes hanggang Linggo, alas 10 hanggang alas 11 ng umaga. At sa mga nais pong pakinggan ang ating mga podcast, mga na-miss po yung ating mga interviews na ginawa o mga segments po dito sa SBS Filipino, pwede po yung balikan sa ating website www.sbs.com.au/Filipino. At syempre, pwede din po sa ating SBS audio app na libre pong maida-download. At dahil Tuesday po ngayong araw, sa mga nag-aabang at may planong magtayo ng negosyo, ito po yung para sa inyo, ang ating May Peraan. Ayan, bago po magtapos ang Filipino Food Month ngayong April, pupunta po muna tayo sa Perth at kilalanin natin si Luis Santos na may-ari ng isang Filipino fusion restaurant. Ano kaya ang diskarte niya para maging maayos ang samahan sa kanyang mga business partners? Pakinggan natin ang panayam ni Christina Lazo sa May Peraan.
May Peraan.
May Peraan. Welcome to My Peraan. Tampok ang mga kababayan nating magbibigay ng praktikal na paraan para kumita ng pera. Pwedeng side hustle o racket, investment, negosyo at iba pa. Kilalanin natin ngayon si Luis Santos na may Filipino Fusion Cafe and Restaurant sa Perth. Kamusta, Luis?
Hi, Teta. Thanks for this opportunity.
Walang anuman. O, umpisahan na natin ngayon, ha? Ano ba sa natatandaan mo, Luis, ang pinakamahirap na pinagdaanan mo when you set up this business?
The two biggest challenges were for securing the right location and crafting the initial menu. That is something that will felt authentic, modern, yet familiar, and rooted in Filipino culture. But one of the biggest lessons was learning to embrace discomfort dito sa process ng build, ng setting up. Kasi business is rarely clean or perfect, di ba? We all felt grounded in peace that comes from knowing we were working in God's plan. Setting up wasn't without discomfort. We are five in this company. Myself, my husband Marvin, the other couple, Dexter and Marjorie, in the middle is God. We are in a same group of a Bible study group. Isang mga meetups namin at night, we have these very casual conversations. Apparently, we both prompting a business, you know, and then later on, we touched base. And then from there, Pala 5 was born.
Kailan ito nabuo?
2022. Oh, we all felt aligned sa vision. I just wanna share as well, this vision, I believe it was a God-given vision. Get aligned to that. Lahat, it was smooth. Lahat dumating, right people at the right time.
So, paano mo nalaman na aligned lahat ang mga nangyayari yari sa'yo, sa vision mo, maging dun sa vision mismo ng mga kapartner mo?
It's a food business, but they don't know how because they are doing a different career path. And for me, I just love cooking. And I believe I'm blessed. He blessed me with these talents and skills.
Ikaw ba ay nag-aral ng pagluluto or was it something innate?
I studied. I've been here for almost a decade now. Nag-aral ako ng hotel and restaurant management, majoring in culinary arts back home for 4 years. Nung gumraduate ako and then we migrated here sa Australia, I thought na, ay, madaling makakuha ng work kasi kakagraduate ko lang eh. Ngayon, it's the opposite. It's really hard to get it unless you actually graduated here. So everything was not accredited. But God's grace, may nakitang vacancy apprenticeship. So I applied there. So while doing apprenticeship, I studied for 3 years. Obviously, apprenticeship is not good with paying. So I have to get another job. So my day job is a barista. A barista in the, at the morning and then DC, you know, DC apprentice at night. Fast forward, I became a head chef dito sa Perth in a popular cafe in Fremantle. I'm running the kitchen team and then from there it gave me both the operational skills and the industry relationship that helped me if I will build something on. Nag-serve tayo ng Western food with pride. So why don't we offer something rooted in Filipino culture, you know? Something na we can share with Australians and other culture and could experience and enjoy it too. And that idea, it didn't left me in my heart and eventually became Pala 5. Pala is from the root word pinagpala. And it means grace. 5 is God's number, authority.
And change. For astrology, yes. 5 is change, right?
5 is change.
Yes.
And the lucky numbers.
Tandaan mo ba kung magkano ang pondo or capital in setting up this business?
We invested a little over 200. That includes purchasing existing business, getting some equipment, and having enough cash flow for the initial operation.
Did you have to take out a loan for this?
Yes, we took a loan. We took a bank loan. And also, I just wanna give a tip. Siguro consider as well working with the point of sale systems partners that offer capital assistance.
Paano yung naging experience mo nung may nag-offer ng loan? Depende yan sa number of transactions that you get dun sa POS mo. Sige, ikwento mo naman sa amin para matutunan din ng ating mga kababayan.
So we're just raised enough to actually get a lot of transactions. That the first year that we have. And then by that time, yung mismong POS, yung company, yung system, offered us. It just amazed us na, uy, may help na ganito. Parang nakaka-lift ng weight.
Okay, so mga magkano naman ang in-offer sa inyo ng POS?
I think that time was a little over 90. It was amazing na may ganun pala. Kasi hindi rin namin alam na, it was a shock too.
Okay, so this is the bank loan that you were saying.
This is point of sales. Yung sa bank loan, it was different. For me and my husband, we actually did the house mortgage. Okay. Finance our house. So that's where we got the money to invest well. So,
mga magkano kayo per partner?
The other two, Marjorie and Dexter, they actually get a bit bigger shares. than us. And then for me, obviously, siguro a little bit less than half. And then because I'm doing the creative side and then the operational side. So that's my contribution. That's our contribution to the company.
Okay, and how about the other friends? Ano ang kanilang duties and responsibilities?
It's a good question. We as a company, we each individual have different roles. So for me, I'm the creative side. And then my husband is the system side. He's a website developer. So he's doing all that. Social media, the marketing side. And then Marjorie was doing our book, helping with the payrolls, the account. And then Decker is doing all the maintenance, some management as well.
How is it like working with friends?
A lot of people saying that working through friends and family can create chaos. Pero you have to know sa inyong lahat, ano yung common ground nyo? So yung common ground namin is biblical because we believe in God and then we believe in His word. So we just follow, obey, and trust.
So ano nangyayari pag hindi kayo nagkakasundo? Meron bang peacemaker sa inyong apat?
Yeah, actually, meron naman. To be honest, I'm actually a little bad-tempered, but I worked that through. We just reminded ourselves na we have to pray. We have to reflect. My husband and Marjorie, may ganong effort.
Oh, pero ikaw ba never kang pinasukan ng doubts?
Tao lang naman ako eh. I have doubts. So, for example, ito bang kinreate na menu? Is it gonna work? Yung ganon, yung parang creative. Medyo mahal to. May kakagat ba? Kakagat ba? Yung mga ganon. I'm trying to learn that too, na i-overcome yan. Kasi from time to time, I have those. They keep reminding me, ito sila yung mga business partners. Noise.
Ano pa yung mga naiisip mong mga paraan para maging relevant pa lalong inyong negosyo?
So we just have to adapt kung anong nangyayari sa paligid, especially ngayon. Kasi kung ano yung kailangan ng customer. We're doing research. Ano ba talaga, kinakausap namin yung customers. Ano ba yung gusto nyong i-offer namin? Yung mga ganong ways, practical ways.
Ano ang trading hours and trading days?
We are open ng Wednesday to Sunday, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Because we found na not really feasible on the days. Less foot traffic. And also, Monday is hospitality rest day. Yung mga nag-work ng hospitality, they usually have Monday off as well. We decided na i-close na lang yung Monday and Tuesday. Kasi yung dalawang araw na yun, no foot traffic as much.
How has business been so far? Dahil 2022 nung nagsimula kayo, 2025 na ngayon. Yes. Ano ang mga natutunan mo sa iyong negosyo?
Merong ups and downs. Madali mag-push when things are going well. Pero when challenges come, we always go back to our why. The vision yung binigay niya to build a space that supports family, fosters connection, and brings people closer to Him. So I always hold on to this. So if God gave you the vision, He's already seen what's ahead and He provided for that vision. So keep the faith, do the work, and trust the process.
Now let's talk about the risks getting into this kind of business.
This cafe industry is very saturated. Everything is unpredictable. And now, especially now, how we navigate in with these unrealistic expectations, right? Is the myth of perfection, especially in this Instagram age, that everything has to be pristine and perfect. But hey, we remind ourselves daily, we're not striving for perfection. But don't get me wrong, we strive for consistency and care in everything we do, every day.
How do you plan to scale the business?
What we're doing now, the heart of Pala, the foundation of Pala, the values, the system, and the culture that we can replicate in other places. Explore kami ngayon, branches maybe, or a kiosk, or even a presence back home or over east. And also, at the moment, we're expanding our catering services and retail. That can allow us to serve in new ways.
Final message, okay, Louise? Para sa mga gustong kumita ng extra or those who want to start out their business, kausapin mo sila ngayon.
Actually, this is resonating with me and I feel like I have to share this. Do not fear and be courageous, for the Lord is with you. If you have peace, walk with faith, because business is seasonal. At first, it's planting, and later on, it's a reaping season. Most importantly, pray constantly and remember you are a vessel of God's grace. If your business is flourishing, steward it well. It is God's provision. And if you're still in the waiting season, trust that He's molding you into the vessel He needs you to be. The real message here is have faith and do not fear. Be courageous.
Ano naman ang message mo sa iyong mga partners, yung negosyo?
We've come so far and I believe this deepen our faith. It will strengthen us more to this. We can do this.
Maraming salamat kay Luis Santos. Thank you, Luis.
Thanks, Teta.
At tandaan niyo po, ha, mapapakinggan itong podcast sa www.sbs.com.au/Filipino. Tandaan, huwag ma-stress sa pera. Matuto mula sa iba dito sa May Peraan.
May Peraan.
May Peraan.
Ayan, maraming salamat Christina Lazo sa paghati ng ating My Peraan episode for today. Ayan po si Luis Santos, ang may-ari ng isang Filipino fusion restaurant dyan sa Perth. At gusto ko yung sinabi niya na have faith and do not fear. Kung may mga pangarap po kayong gustong i-push, push lang po, go lang ng go. At kung kayo din po ay isa sa mga may negosyo, no, na nagpupush kayo ng inyong mga negosyo at gusto niyo ibahagi yung mga learnings niyo sa inyong pagpasok sa pagnenegosyo, ibahagi po yan sa amin dito sa SBS Filipino. Maaaring magpadala lamang po naman sa ating Facebook page. At syempre, tatry po namin mag-reply kaagad sa inyong mga text message.
I-like, i-share, mag-comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.